of killing young boys for.
Let me ask you something about Queen that has not only upset me, but an awful bunch of people.
Oh, good. I'm going to love it.
You're going to love this. Going to South Africa and playing in Sun City.
Oh, yes.
Tell me your attitude about that. I mean, first of all, do you think it was the right thing to do?
I don't know. I still don't know. I think it's a much more difficult question than people give it credit for being. One, I don't think anybody who hasn't been there understands how the place works. One, well, obviously we don't approve of the whole idea of apartheid. It stinks. The fact is, we did play in a place where there is no apartheid. This is a fact. We probably sold more records to black people in South Africa than to white people. But records like Gentleman Bites the Dust and I Want to Break Free were huge hits amongst the black community there. In fact, I Want to Break Free is one of the unofficial anthems of the black people there.
The ANC?
The ANC, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And in fact, I saw them the other day on a newsreel on TV singing this beautiful harmony chorus of I Want to Break Free, obviously, you know, why, you know. And when our job is to play music to lots of people, black, white, yellow, any colour. And I'm still not sure. We did think, ooh, maybe we shouldn't have gone. You know, maybe it was a bad thing. But there was certainly no vibe of that when we were down there at all. But let's face it, the place is run by whites. But I mean, I don't know. It was to. It's a very difficult one. And I don't know whether we were right or wrong. I'm certainly not going to say, I wouldn't lie about it, you know. I wouldn't sort of back down and say, oh, we were totally wrong. Or I certainly wouldn't say we were right. I'm not sure, actually.
Did you feel no guilt about it?
I certainly don't feel guilt because I know our motives were okay. I certainly don't feel guilt. What I couldn't believe was we got in a bit of trouble with the Musicians Union here. The only thing that bothered them about it wasn't the moral issue at all that bothered them. The only thing that bothered them was we broke their rule.
Of playing there?
Of playing there. Oh, it's in the rules. You broke it. Oh, sod your rules.
Yeah, but I'm sure they feel...
I wasn't a musician to be in their poxy union anyway.
I'm sure they feel, though, that they have a very good reason for it.
Maybe. They didn't present any. They didn't want to argue on any kind of moral standpoint whatsoever. They just wanted to make a point that we'd broken the rule, you know.
So, would you go back there again?
No, I wouldn't. Because I realise now, I think, that it would be a very, a stupid thing to do. It would be really like we were trying to make a point that, you know, we'll do what we like. And no, I certainly wouldn't.
Is that the only reason you wouldn't go back?
No, I really aren't sure, actually, where... Perhaps we were wrong in going. I'm not saying we were right in going. I don't know, actually. At the time, we thought we were just going to play to all sorts of people. I think everybody should be free, obviously, by trying to force an issue, I think it's dangerous, and very dangerous, actually. I don't think we should get involved, really, you know.
Roger Taylor talking about playing in Sun City. I also told Brian May that Queen playing there upset not only me, but also a lot of other people.
Okay, I'll talk till the end of the earth. It's upset me too. And I think a lot of people are ready to misjudge us. And I'll upset you, obviously, right? Well, I think we were right to go at the time we went. And I'll explain why if you want. And at the moment, I think we're right not to go. And we've said we won't go.
We'll never go back there again.
We won't go back while the present regime exists. But we've said that, to be honest, in response to pressure. And we feel that perhaps our own ways might be better, but we feel that the option has been taken away from us in a way. If you want me to explain, I will.
Please.
All right. Okay, we've been selling records in South Africa, among lots of other places, for a long time. And quite a high proportion of them... of those records were sold to the black and various racial departments down there. And we had lots of offers to go over the last 5-6 years or so. And we'd always said no because they would have to be to segregated audiences. Now, we're totally, fundamentally opposed to apartheid. And we said there's no way we're going to go and do that. when the Sun City thing came up, we initially said no, because we'd heard, like, all these things about it being a front for the regime and everything, and we said, no, we don't want any part of that. Then it was gradually explained to us that, you know, maybe there was something to be looked at here. So we sent our own guy down there, who's Jim Beach, to suss it out and see if all their claims were true, you know, see if it was actually multiracial, see if there was actually freedom of access and all the rest of it. Was it separate, etc.? He came back satisfied that it was and we should go. So we went. Any race could go equally under equal circumstances. And so we went. Now, Sun City is... The easiest thing to say to describe it is it's like Las Vegas. It's a carbon copy of Las Vegas. It's all slot machines. And the reason that a rock group goes there, from the promoter's point of view, is to bring people to his slot machines. It's exactly why people book Tom Jones to Las Vegas. You know, he's there as a magnet to draw people in. And so the promoter was using us to a certain extent, but that's normal. We were using him in a sense because we were able by this means to get to an audience which we'd never otherwise be able to get to because we couldn't play in South Africa proper. Because we weren't allowed to play under the conditions that we wanted. So we went, we played, and talked to a lot of people, spoke our minds, said we were anti-apartheid, and we thought it was wrong and unacceptable. And we were received with open arms by everyone that we spoke to. I don't think there was one word of criticism. Nobody said we shouldn't have come. Everybody said, you're very brave to come because we know there's a lot of pressure on you not to come. And we respect you for coming and making your own conclusions about it. And a lot of people thought that by being there, we were able to build bridges. And by increasing the exchange between the countries, we were able to make apartheid gradually less and less acceptable. And it's very noticeable if people spoke to us about it, you know, if we said, can we go to these discos, can we go to Johannesburg, can we do all this, you know. They were very shy about saying that any of it would be segregated, and they wouldn't take us to those places kind of thing. And I think that's a great thing, because more and more, as interaction takes place, less and less does it become acceptable for people to have these ideas, you know, which are contrary to basic human rights, you know. And that's our whole philosophy. As regards playing, we feel that music transcends barriers and shouldn't be kept apart by the barriers. Music builds bridges, music brings people to people, and in as much as we can be a part of that in a small way, that's what we're going to do. So I make no apologies for the fact that we went. I think we achieved a lot. We even got national press saying how opposed to apartheid we were, which I think very few people can claim to have done. We went, we did it, and we're not going back at the moment, as things are.
But the insinuation there, Brian May, from Queen, is that actually Sun City isn't as intolerable as has been made out.
I think a lot of people have come to conclusions about Sun City who have never been there, certainly, who don't know what it's like. Sun City, I mean, we were there. It wasn't just going in and playing one night and coming out. We were there for a period, and we played a number of concerts. And again, it's like, I think it was about 3 weeks or so. And again, it's like Las Vegas. If you play Las Vegas, you're there, you play to people at night, and you get up in the morning, and you see them in the street. It's a weird kind of feeling. You suddenly become almost uncomfortably a part of the world that goes on.
So if this pressure didn't exist for you not to go back, do you think you would?
It's a big question. Things have changed a lot since we went, of course, as well. Things have got more polarized.
When was it
I think it's 18 months ago. But I don't know. Actually, I don't know. We haven't talked about it because we came to the conclusion that it would be wrong for us to go at this point because it would appear that we weren't supporting the people who were... As I say, we have very strong feelings. And we've talked about them to everyone, including Little Stephen, including the United Nations, and nobody's got us on any blacklists. They're all satisfied that we did it for the right motives, and that in order to help these people, we've said that we won't go again. I have misgivings. I have a feeling that maybe it's not the right way. But it's kind of too late. There's an avalanche already falling, and no one can stand in the way of it. And if I want to say one last thing, it is that it would be very easy for me to just say, okay, I'm sorry, it was a mistake, we shouldn't have done it. That would be the easiest thing, but I think that would be moral cowardice, because I don't believe it. And I would rather tell the truth, which is, we acted according to our own consciences, and we stand by that. At the same time, we stand by what everyone else is doing now.
Let me ask you about Live Aid. Is that an incredible buzz for you, as it seemed to be for everybody? Because even people who don't love the group, and I would honestly number myself in that category,
yeah,
were kind of really knocked out by the whole showmanship of the band and everything, and the whole vibe that was put across.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. It was an incredible day. And I think the whole thing was just great. Anybody who knocks it, I think, is a
fool.
Fool, yeah, really.
And being
it was
there,
a great day. Yeah.
Being there on stage playing,
yeah,
did you realise at the time what an incredible flash the whole thing was? Or was it just like, we'd better be as good as possible? Or what?
Oh, it was just really go on and be as good as possible. Yeah, in 20 minutes. Which isn't very easy. And also their monitors were screaming and everything, you know, so it was very odd. We couldn't really tell how good the sound was. But obviously it went great.
Brian May from Queen, let's talk about Live Aid. That must have been an incredible buzz, because even for people who aren't entirely Queen fans, and to be very frank, I would number myself among them.
Mm-hmm.
So would I.
People were kind of really knocked out with the showmanship of the band on that particularly glorious occasion.
Good. That's very gratifying.
Well, that sounds patronising, but I mean, you must have got that feedback, you know.
It is, yes, it's great. I was surprised. In fact, I've looked at the video, some of our friends videoed it, I've looked at it two or three times, wondering what was so good about it that everybody got so excited about. I don't really know what it was, except I think Freddie had his finest hour. You know, Freddie just rose to that occasion, had the whole place in the palm of his hand in the way that only he can do. And I think he, more than anyone else, carried that occasion off.
And playing there on that day, did it feel like a gig, or did it feel extra special?
Definitely extra special. I'd say it's the best day of my life. Not because I thought I was very important. I think we were a very small part of that, obviously. But I thought it was a wonderful feeling, and I'll never, ever forget it. I don't think there was anything that felt better that I can think of. The mood from the artists and from all the people working on it and from the audience was just magnificent. I've never been a part of anything quite as unequivocally good as that. It was great, and hats off to Geldof, I think it's great.
One Vision, the song Queen wrote after appearing on Live Aid. So, Queen in 1986, what are they about? What is Queen? Roger Taylor.
I don't know.
I mean, let me just hit you with this then. I mean, the sort of
hugeness.
Yeah, hugeness. I mean, the sketches, the equipment, right? Sort of 80 tons of equipment and 57 people to move it and stuff like that. Is that bullshit or what?
Oh, no, it's not bullshit. It's all true. But I mean, I think any band that does large, big scale concerts has that much equipment these days, you know. But I suppose there is a certain amount of, I think it's sort of showmanship in a way. Certain way of presenting a show, you know, we're not Donovan. It's just a big rock band here, you know, and it's big music, and it's big, and it's loud, and it sounds great, and it makes you want to go yeah. And that's one way of looking at it.
Final thing here, Brian May from Queen, the BPFO. What are Queen about? I mean, if one can sort of, you as a member of the combo, look at the band. I mean, is it simply about entertainment and hugeness and money and sort of showbiz?
A cynical question.
Mm.
Well, if I thought that, I don't think I would be sitting here.
It's not entirely a cynical question, actually.
Okay, I think a good part of it is boys with toys. I don't know if you know what that means. But I think This is what we always wanted to do when we were kids. We're doing it. We love it. We get a great feeling from it. And people enjoy it. That's a good part of it. There are all sorts... I think it's probably the major part of it. There are other things sewn into the fabric of what we do, if I can be that flowery. There are other things in there. There are like our own individual songwriting efforts. Now, we all write songs for different reasons. And they're all different. Everybody in the world writes or creates what they do for different reasons. And the four of us are very different. My songs generally are a complete anathema to the rest of the group. They don't understand what I'm trying to say in my songs. I probably don't understand what they're trying to say.
Give an example of that.
There's a song called Give Me the... It's called The Prize on this album, which is one of the heaviest tracks we've ever done, I suppose. I think Freddie hates it more than anything we've ever done. And if it was up to him, it wouldn't go on the album. But I think it's turned out the way I want it to be.
It's your song?
Yeah. And there is no way... We can talk about it all night, and we have done, but there's no way that we see it the same way. And there are those kind of irreconcilable differences. But we're all struggling to use this beast called Queen, which has grown up, to use it to get our own ideas across. That's behind the scenes, that there's that going on as well. We all care what's being said. And we all care about that piece of plastic that goes out very much. We care that the stuff on it is what we've got to live with for the next few years, and we want to get it as good as we can. We have a lot of pride in what we do. But it's not just in bigness or... Certainly not the money. I don't think anybody really cares about the money. I'm not trying to be clever. I honestly don't think they do. Really. We've made enough money to be reasonably okay. But even if we hadn't, or even if we'd made so much that we never need to work again, we'd still be doing exactly what we do. Because now, I hate to admit it, but we can't do much else. I used to think I could go back to being an astronomer, but I very much doubt it now.
All right, on those words, those star words there, Brian May from Queen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
It's a kind of magic.
You have been listening to Brian May and Roger Taylor of Queen. The BPFO Queen's Out was a Willie O'Reilly production, and for me, BP, well, make up your own mind.